Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Jane reading for the OA for Saturday, January 21st. Avid changing lives of students. As part of their senior experience, Avid students from across Odessa saw what the program has meant to professionals involved in the program and what it will mean to them after high school. Held in the Black Box Theater at Odessa College and sponsored by Complex Community Federal Credit Union, students took part in activities and demonstrations showing how advancement via individual determination has changed their lives. Avid teaches students organization, time management, note-taking, and other skills that they can use throughout their lives. The event was sponsored by Complex Community Federal Credit Union. Wendell Brown, Senior Director of the Central Region for Avid, covers 22 states in the middle of the country. The community support, he said, really adds value. It demonstrates to the students that we are all in this together, that our education is important, and that we need to work together. So I really appreciate the way that this has all been focused on making sure they have access to rigorous education and a future beyond high school, Brown said. If Avid had been around when he was in school, Brown said he probably would have been in it because he had potential but didn't always perform. That's one of the things that makes Avid really powerful, is that we are intentionally looking for young people who have potential and then helping them to learn on their own how to give them skills and the agency to be their best selves. Our students have never let us down. They have always risen to the expectations that we have. We just have to prove that those expectations are genuine. When we do, the genius is with them already, and we're excited to be able to have an opportunity to help them refine their skills and to elevate that genius so that they can be the adults and professionals and contributors to society that they want to be, Brown said. He was impressed that ECISD's program runs pre-kindergarten through college and that it is the only one in his region that does. He added that it's beneficial because it helps keep the genius within the community. That is such a big deal, to be able to have a magnet that keeps your intellectual capacity within your own community. So many of these students, they may go off to college, but if they stay here, all that stays right here, and we'd benefit locally from having it right here in our hometown, Brown said. He added that this is a model for the rest of the Avid programs in the country. We believe that the impact that Avid has on the learning environment is exactly what schools are meant to do. We engage in the learning, we build agency within our students, we teach them what they're going to do with the knowledge once they get it, and then we give them rigorous preparations so that each student is maximizing these learning opportunities as they go, Brown said. This is Jane reading for the OA for Saturday, January 21st. Bushman donates toward Alabama tornado relief. Tornadoes ripped across parts of the South last week, leaving heavy damage in Selma, Alabama, and killing 9 people. Investment Corporation of America CEO John Bushman has since pledged $100,000 in relief efforts following the devastation caused by the tornado. A press conference was held Friday at the MCM Elegante Hotel to discuss the donation, which is called Help Your Neighbor. Mr. Bushman was clear that we are blessed in the Permian Basin and any time that we can help a neighbor, regardless where they are, KCRS broadcaster Spencer Bennett said. We want to do just that. He's donating $100,000. It's with the help of team members, and that includes the hotels, the malls, A1, and all of our radio stations. We just encourage people to do the same. Those who are interested in donating to the Alabama Tornado Relief can do so at 1033kissfm.net or text capital A, capital R, capital E, capital L, capital I, capital E, capital F. That's AL Relief, all in capital letters, to 44321. Checks can also be made out to Central Alabama Community Foundation and dropped off at Music City Mall, the MCM Elegante Hotel, the MCM Grande Fun Dome, ICA Radio, A1 Homes in Odessa, or A1 Homes in Midland. Donations can also be mailed to ICO at P.O. Box 2969 Odessa 79760. We usually try to encourage people to give what they can, and that's by donating to Help Your Neighbor, which is the Alabama Tornado Relief Effort, Bennett said. Some people don't experience a great economy, even though we're experiencing one right here. But the people that do and have been blessed, we're giving them an opportunity to help out our neighbors. We're helping people in our country and making sure that they're taken care of in a time of tragedy. ICA has a long history of donating during different disasters and tragedies, including the El Paso shooting in 2019 and the previous tornado disaster in 2019 that also struck Selma. We've even given back in the train accident that happened in Midland in 2012. Program directors at ICA Radio, Chris Moore, said. He said that's how far back the ICA team members have donated to various tragedies throughout Texas and other states. This is Jane reading for the OA for Saturday, January 21st. Odessan gets 15 years in manslaughter and robbery. A 20-year-old Odessa man accused of committing an armed robbery and weeks later shooting a girl to death was sentenced to 15 years in prison Wednesday after a plea agreement. According to Ector County court records, Chavilla Crosby was accused of robbing a man at gunpoint on February 8, 2020. He posted a surety bond of $50,000 and was released from the Ector County Jail 2 days later. He was indicted in March 2020 in that case. On April 10, 2020, OPD officers received a medical call from an apartment in the 900 block of West University, and when they arrived, they found Jasmine Lozano, 17, dead of a gunshot wound. Crosby was arrested after a detective determined he'd shot Lozano during an argument, and he was indicted in June 2020 on first-degree felony charge of murder. Court records show Crosby pleaded guilty to manslaughter and aggravated robbery Wednesday and was sentenced to two concurrent 15-year prison sentences by Judge Justin Lowe, as stipulated to in the plea agreement. He was given credit for just over 1,000 days he's already spent in Ector County Jail. This is Jane reading for the OA for Saturday, January 21st. Faudry Road construction traffic update. Faudry Road traffic will shift to the newly paved roadway on Sunday. The area of 56th Street between Sleepy Hollow Street and Faudry Road will be closed to traffic for the remainder of this phase of construction. The first phase of construction will include building the west half of the new Faudry Road between Highway 191 and Windchase Street and is scheduled to be complete by June. This is Jane reading for the OA for Saturday, January 21st from the obituary and death notice section. In Odessa, on Tuesday, Lynn Gertson, age 55, of Gardendale, passed away in Odessa on Wednesday, January 11th. She began her earthly journey in Odessa, born to Roger Lee Gertson and Mary Deanna Lehman on February 6, 1967. Those left to cherish her love and memory include her daughter, Shandy Newbrow, and husband, Shane, her mother, her father, her significant other, Harvey Gordon, many children and great-grandchildren. Tuesday is preceded in death by paternal grandparents, Robert and Mildred Gertson, stepdad Eddie Lehman, and her beloved dogs, Apollo, Cujo, Daisy, and Mimi. Visitation will be at Acres West Funeral Home on Monday evening, January 23rd, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Funeral services will be held at Acres West Funeral Chapel on Tuesday, January 24th at 10 a.m. Services are entrusted to Acres West, and condolences may be sent to the family online at acreswestfuneral.com. In Odessa, Patsy McCorder, 78, was called home to be with her Lord and Savior on Tuesday, January 17th. Pat was born on June 22, 1944, in Malvern, Arkansas, to Randolph and Fern Dodson. She was the oldest of six siblings and raised in Pyote. Those left to cherish her memories are her daughter, Susan Slayton, and Andrea Martin, and many grandchildren, nieces, and nephews. She is preceded in death by her loving husband, Gene McCorder, her parents, Randolph and Firm Dodson, and brother Stephen Dodson and Russell Dodson. A memorial service will be held at Vine Baptist Church on Monday, January 23rd at 10 a.m. Pastor Johnny Touchstone will be officiating. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send family condolences or share a memory, please sign her guest book at www.sunset.odessa. In Odessa, Utha Mae King of Odessa died on Saturday, January 14th, with her children Tammy Castleman and James King by her side. Utha was born in Cooties Bluff, Oklahoma, to Fred D. Thomason and Allie B. McCordy Thomason on January 3, 1936. She married the love of her life, Bill Leon King, on September 25, 1959, in Nowata, Oklahoma. Utha was preceded in death by her husband, parents, and siblings, William, Gerald, Benny, Mary, Kelly, Lucille, and Lorraine. She is survived by son James King of Odessa and daughter Tammy. She has and is leaving many children, grandchildren. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel, and condolences to the family may be sent online at acreswestfuneral.com. On angels' wings you were taken, but in our hearts you will stay, and in God's light you will rest until we meet again someday. In Odessa, Rosa Elena Villanueva Moya was born on May 5, 1947. She passed away on January 19th. She was born in Fort Davis to Pedro Villanueva and Ana Bel de Porto and was raised in Balmoray. In 1962, she married Jesus Villarreal and they moved to Pecos and lived there for several years. They were married for 25 years. She is survived by Betty Pondo, Esteo Rocha, Velma Casillas, Jesus Villarreal, Tammy Lopez, and sisters Linda, Gloria, Virginia, and 16 grandchildren, and many great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. Rosa is preceded in death by her mom and father, her daughter Joanne Ramirez, and grandson Jeremy. A visitation for Rosa will be held Monday, January 23rd, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. at Odessa Funeral Home, 1700 North Jackson Avenue in Odessa. A funeral service will occur on Tuesday, January 24th at 2 p.m. at Hope Alive Church, 305 East 19th Street in Odessa. A burial will occur Tuesday, January 24th at Sunset Memorial Gardens at 6801 East I-20 Business Loop in Odessa. On Monday, December 26th, Rodney Norris passed away at age 75. Born in El Paso to Ralph and Zelma Norris, Rodney grew up mostly in the El Paso area before moving to Odessa. He was preceded in death by both of his parents. He is survived by a daughter and brother, and though his absence will be felt by many.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, January 23rd. Landgraf calls FERC unscrupulous. Legislator says agency kept Freeport LNG closed to hold natural gas prices down. The story was written by Bob Campbell. State Representative Brooks Landgraf says the Biden administration and the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission have delayed the reopening of the big Freeport LNG development export plant to keep natural gas prices artificially low through the winter. With the price at $3.25 Thursday, less than a third of the $9.85 that gas brought last August 22nd, there is no other conclusion to be drawn, Landgraf said Wednesday. The Odessa Republican said Freeport LNG, the nation's biggest exporter of liquefied natural gas to Europe, was ready to resume full operations last mid-November after a summer and early fall of repairing damages from a June 8th fire that caused no fatalities. But just as full operations were about to kick off, the FERC dropped a list of 64 additional demands that kept Freeport LNG shuttered until the initial startup was begun January 14th on the Texas Gulf Coast. A full resumption isn't expected until March, when the plant will again start liquefying 2 billion cubic feet of gas per day and shipping it to Europe, which has suffered greatly from the loss of Russian gas. Asked if the plant was kept closed to hold gas prices down, Landgraf said, quote, I can only look at the actions that have been taken, but looking at the picture being painted, it's reasonable to assume that this is the case, end quote. The chairman of the Texas House Environmental Regulation Committee, Landgraf said from Austin that he had been disappointed but not surprised to see FERC behave in such a blatantly political manner. Quote, I've seen it time and time again, the federal government doing everything it can to curtail the exploitation of our natural resources, he said. So this is another front in the Biden administration's war against fossil fuels, end quote. However, Landgraf is relieved to see Freeport LNG finally reach the threshold of a complete resumption. Quote, I expect full operations in February or March, realistically March, he said. Quote, one thing remains clear. LNG is part of the equation to meet the energy needs of the modern world. The world needs energy from oil and natural gas to function, and we must continue to invest in the Permian Basin and continue producing oil and gas. When I was growing up in Odessa, America was dependent on the Middle East and energy independence was a pipe dream, said Landgraf, an attorney. Now the basin is the secret weapon not only for Texas, but the nation, end quote. Calling the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality's practices a much better example of good regulation than FERC's, he said, quote, when you talk about fueling the world and maintaining safety for workers, it's possible to do both. Sometimes problems need to be addressed with a scalpel rather than a machete, and regulators should be cognizant of that. FERC has a specific job to do, and any time a regulatory body like that gets sidelined with a political agenda, it can lead to bad policy outcomes. In the best-case scenario, their lack of communication and transparency caused unnecessary delays. In the worst case, they have displayed an unbridled political agenda, end quote. The FERC did not respond to a recent request from the Odessa American for an explanation of the Freeport LNG's extended shutdown. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. PBALC Spring Classes. The Permian Basin Adult Literacy Center has opened enrollment for its online Spring 2023 classes. Classes begin today. Late enrollment begins February 9th. Learn English in a small class online and in person. Classes and tutoring are open to adults 18 and older. Students are required to pay an annual enrollment fee of $25 and must schedule an enrollment appointment. Class placement depends on assessment level and class availability. To enroll, go to tinyurl.com/S7Z25M54. For enrollment questions, call 432-682-9693, extension 404, or email adejong@pbalc.com. Public Paint Party. Maine's Canvas and Crafts has scheduled a public paint party from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. today at Gerardo's Casita, 2407 North Big Spring Street in Midland. Participants will get a pre-outlined 16 by 20 canvas and everything they will need to create their masterpiece. Tickets are $35. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit tinyurl.com/YKWPJHMN. Boys and Girls Club Odessa. The Boys and Girls Club of Odessa, 800 East 13th Street, has scheduled limited signups for after-school pickup from Austin Montessori Magnet School, Sam Houston, and Alamo. Spring semester will be $120 per child. For more information, stop by Wilkerson BGC, 800 East 13th Street, or call 432-337-8380 or 432-222-9200 or visit tinyurl.com/YYUWUYE8. Cotillion Registrations. The 27th Annual Odessa Cotillion is currently taking registrations. Classes will take place Tuesday through February 28th at the Odessa Country Club, 1 Fairway Drive. This program, directed by John D. Williams Cotillions, consists of social skills education for 4th through 7th grade students. Registration is required. Space is limited. Register at tinyurl.com/BDDZEAX9. Point-in-time donations. The Odessa Lynx are currently taking donations of blankets, white socks, and large recycled bags for the point-in-time taking place Thursday. Donations may be dropped off from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday at LL Services, 111 West 9th Street, or at the Odessa Lynx headquarters, 119 West 4th Street. The point-in-time count is a snapshot of individuals and families experiencing homelessness in our community and statewide. Visit tinyurl.com/2Z4A3E9F.
This is Susie Haynes with the Midland Reporter Telegram from Saturday, January 21st, 2023, Section B, Dear Abby. Partners affair sparked by perceived lack of affection. Dear Abby, I'm in a 3-year relationship, but my significant other, Ron, is extremely cautious about emotional attachment. It took him 2 years to tell me he loves me, or even to express any form of serious affection. In addition, he's consumed by his job and worries about how his coworkers will perceive him. He seems to prioritize work relationships over our relationship. Because I have been depressed by the meager affection he shows me, I began an intimate relationship with a former coworker, Dan. Dan expresses no reservations or restraint in his feelings for me. He makes me feel appreciated, beautiful, and loved. I have strong feelings for them both and realize I have created a horrible situation. I don't want to abandon a stable, caring relationship that was cultivated over 3 years, and I'm terrified that ending the relationship in favor of one with Dan would be something I'll regret later. But I'm unwilling to break things off with Dan. I'd appreciate any advice. Two-timer on the East Coast. Dear Two-timer, I'll try. Because your relationship with Ron left you feeling so empty that you went looking for solace in another man's arms, ask yourself whether you really love Ron or just the challenge of getting him to finally commit to you. You are unwilling to give Dan up because he gives you affection and validation, which are vital in a long-term relationship. Recognize that you are cheating on both men, which is fair to neither one, and do not think that Ron won't find out. If you want to spend your life with an emotionally unavailable workaholic, do the honorable thing and break up with Dan. If what you have been getting from Dan is more important to you, well, you know the drill. Dear Abby, my oldest daughter recently had her first child. She sent out christening invitations a month early after clearing the date with the godparents, church, and venue. My youngest adult daughter, who has two children and lives nearby, declined the invite. She is not the godparent. Her reason was that she and her family had tickets to a ball game on the same day as the christening. I suggested that only she attend and have another relative go to the game in her place, but was told she should be at the game with her family. Your thoughts? Priorities in Florida. Dear Priorities, my first thought is that your younger daughter ranks her love of sports above her love for her sister. My second thought is that her priorities are out of whack. Could there be bad blood between them? Long after that ball game is over and forgotten, the memory of her absence at that important family event will be remembered by the relatives she snubbed.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.